broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, ladies and gentlemen, is the broadcast for August the 8th. In the year of our Lord, 2019, this is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. You say, Sam, that's pretty pompous. Thinking this is the best talk show and the best country and the best everything. You know what? It's our goal to be positive. All right? There's so much negativity in the world. We've got to a little bit be over the top positive to counteract so much negativity. Why do I say it's the best country on the face of the planet? Not because we as a people are any better than anybody else. Look, the United States was known as the great immigration melting pot, okay? It's not about race. It's about the American people have the opportunity to truly live the American dream. The checks and balances properly put in place in the limited style government, looking to God, not government, for solutions, is the genius, is the key. And other nations who follow that blueprint, they can be great too. And the closer a country follows the supreme law of our land, the better. And if other countries obey constitutional principles, and if we don't, they'll be great and we won't. Got it? Good. Very simple. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Free. Available now. But if you have the heart to help, every penny we could really use. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today, would you please? All right, a quick recap of yesterday's show. We talked about a California professor. I think it's Riza Aslan. All Trump supporters are white nationalists, and they're terror supporters. Now, that is the most, in my opinion, offensive statement ever. It paints everybody with this extremely broad brush. This idea that if you believe in some of the principles Donald does, you're just a terrorist and a white supremacist. And you know what? These labels are, you know, my opinion, hate speech. But ladies and gentlemen, far left protesters defend on Mitch McConnell's house, threaten to stab the mother blanker to the heart. Wow. How dare them? I think we reject violence at every turn. I don't agree with Mitch McConnell on hardly anything. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't agree with either side of the aisle on these discussions. I think the swamp is the problem. However, you know what? We can't be violent. We can't be hate-filled. I don't want any harm to come to Mitch. I don't want any harm to come to the protesters that are attacking Mitch. I don't want any harm to come to this professor. I don't want any harm to come to Donald Trump. All right? There's this basketball player, for example. His name is Danelle, and they nickname him DJ Cooper. I guess he was banned after a test said that he's pregnant. What are you talking about? Well, he turned in a urine sample that belonged to his girlfriend because he was going to get busted for drugs, and it backfired on him, I guess. That was kind of a comic relief. Not too funny story, right in the middle of the hard-hitting news, right? AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, tells newsrooms that she's telling them who they ought to let on TV. She says, you know what? You guys are putting least qualified on TV, Washington Examiner. So my response to that is, whenever you see AOC on TV, just think in your mind, least qualified, why is she there? See what I'm talking about? They don't put me on TV. I think that Ocasio-Cortez would probably advocate for Sam Bushman live on TV, debating race and all the constitutional principles that we hold so dear, right? Come on. Sam and Ocasio-Cortez, let's have a debate. Let's get after it. Get on TV. But see, they put her all over TV, and then she says the least qualified are there. It makes sense to me. I agree with her for once. That's my point, right? Talking heads do no good, sad to say. U.S. labels China currency manipulator. Beijing warns of financial chaos. Gold soars. Wow. Bubble popping. Recession warning. That's what's going on. And we'll get into that here in just a minute with Brian Rust, because he's going to come on with us. And I want to talk about that very headline with our buddy Brian when he gets a minute. All right. Second hour, we had on Becky Akers, author of Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold, two incredible new novels. Get them before they're banned. Racists, white supremacists, white nationalists, homegrown terrorism, lone wolves, international extremism, conspiracy theories. free speech, hate speech, extremist, left, right, denier, etc. You know, that's what the words are. They're wordsmithing, folks. And I don't know what all that means. Donald Trump condemns white supremacy. I don't even know what white supremacy is, folks, anymore. Because I think they've changed the terms. Everybody's a white supremacist. If you support Donald, you're a white supremacist, racist, hater, terrorist nowadays, right? Okay, this is the part that's unacceptable. Now, if a white supremacist means because you believe that you're white, you're better than everybody else who's not white, I believe that's evil. Evil doctrine. I stand against it. But I also stand for people's rights to believe such false doctrine or false beliefs if they choose. Okay? I stand against crimes every time. But you know what? I'm not going to stand against somebody from their own conscience, even if they have beliefs that I disagree with. Which is worse? Somebody who believes they're better than somebody else because they're white, which again, I stand against. But somebody who believes that, or somebody who believes murdering babies called abortion, even after birth abortions, they're talking about now. Which is worse, the guy that believes he's better than everybody else because he's white, or the guy that believes in murdering babies even after they're born alive? Which is worse? Well, I don't know. I'm not interested in the race to the bottom. I'm just making a point. One group is embraced, funded by your tax dollars. The other group is ridiculed and mocked and shunned to the side as if they're nobody. I think both viewpoints are heinous, are evil. What about the guy that believes in God, family, and country, and traditional marriage? When does free speech become hate speech is the question. And do we support hate speech in America? The answer is, yes, we do. Not because we like hate speech, but because we support free speech. And who's going to decide when it's free speech and when it's hate speech? We ought to talk about free speech and then against the law speech. When do you border on libel and slander? When do you go so far to commit kind of a treasonous and or a insurrection behavior with your speech? When do you cross the line? And I say, you know what? There is speech that's illegal for a good, legitimate reason. Other than that, you know what? Views that you disagree with, you can't call hate speech because pretty soon your speech will be hate speech. If I say God loves me, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I believe in a one-man, one-woman marriage, and I believe in welcoming children, multiplying and replenishing the earth, I've just crossed the line from, you know, my good, honest, moral beliefs, love one another, etc., you know, follow the Prince of Peace. They would say I'm engaging in hate speech. I hate those who are gay and lesbians and transgender. I don't accept the new version of marriage. I want to ruin the planet by bringing children to it. I'm probably, you know, abusing my wife, thinking she's less than me. I'm a misogynist. I'm a sexist. I'm a whatever phobe. Okay, these labels have got to stop. The labeling of everyone into forcing everybody into a pigeonhole is hateful, folks. It just flat out is. But the question is, who's going to decide all that? When do you have guilt by association? Just because I like some things Donald Trump does? In fact, I like many things Donald Trump does. Do I get guilt by association and he's a white supremacist and now so am I? Google leftists are condemning the CPAC as a circus platform for hate. I don't even understand all that. Tom Steyer, quote, Trump has given license to racists to act out their worst impulses. Donald's done that? Wow. And I guess I'm one of them, acting out my worst impulses, asking everybody to, you know, come down from the ledge of violence and hate and destruction, asking people to follow the Prince of Peace, telling people to be, civil to one another, a clarion call for civility, these kind of things. Wow. Big tech vows to fight white nationalism, whatever that is. I mean, what's a white nationalist? Is it somebody that's white? Can you be a white nationalist if you're not white? All right, so I fit the first criteria. I'm white, right? Can't help it. What's a nationalist? I mean, if I believe in the supreme law of our land, the Constitution, am I a nationalist? By nature, to some degree, right? I don't believe in isolation, but I do believe in avoiding foreign entanglements. Right? So, what's a white nationalist? Someone who just happens to be white who believes in our nation? Or is it a supremacist or supremacist doctrine? Is it somebody who believes they're better than everybody else? What about morality in the people and personal responsibility, folks? What about that, huh? The GOP gets behind bills in Congress for gun seizures, writes the New York Times. I pray enough Republicans are smart enough to avoid that bullet, pardon the pun. What are red flag laws, ladies and gentlemen, and how do they work? Red flag laws, folks, are laws that violate constitutional due process. That's what they are. I reject them. Sadly, Donald Trump's doubling down in support of them. Shame, shame. We hope we can use the narrow window to help Donald see the truth. Look, the right to keep and bear arms is the law of our land. And let's not manipulate that law. Are there crazies that get guns that shouldn't? Yes, there are. Is there a way to deal with it? Yes, there is. And the answer is not on a federal level. The answer is on a local state level. Can the states work together in a private database to keep track of what's going on to some degree? Yes, they can. Okay, so there's ways to accomplish the task. We're not even debating that we need to keep the people safe. The only debate is how best can we keep the people safe? And guns in the hands of good guys is one of the great answers. All right, taking away guns from the good guys. Pretty soon, all the only people that will have guns is your government and the criminals. You want that, folks? I certainly do not. The Founding Fathers realized when King George was moving to control the munitions, they said, not happening, sir. Thank heavens for their foresight. Thank heavens for their sacred honor. Thank heavens for their example. Because they've put the supreme law of the land in place, though, we don't need to go revolution style. We can go restoration style and restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. How's that? And that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, available at libertyroundtable.com. Donate, download, share, spread the word, please. Brian Rust, Sam and Kurt back in seconds, breaking down the Honest Money Report on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Yeah, talk radio at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're digging the broadcast. I work hard to prepare my part. Kurt works hard to prepare his part. Brian Rust and everybody else on the roundtable works hard to prepare their part. Thanks for listening. Brian, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, brother.
Hey, thank you very much. Glad to be with you guys.
All right, gold and silver prices real quick. Let's kind of see how they've changed.
Gold is sitting this morning at $1,494.60.
Now, hold on. Let me just stop you there. $1,494. 1287 was last week. Did you know that?
1287. Say that again.
Wasn't it 1287 last week?
No, we were sitting at 1432 last week.
Okay. Somehow I wrote down 1287. All right. What is it? 1494.
60.
All right. 60. What do you think of that, Kurt? Is that what you had? You're getting richer by the day.
Well, yeah, that's right. You know, I do see a lot of reports where
1494-60.
I mean, we're in August, and it seems like this happens almost every year in August. I see, increases in, the silver and gold prices. But do you remember that, Brian? Does that sound right?
We see some jumps a little bit there in that scenario. But I've seen jumps all the way across the board based on new, the supply and demand support and all the other things that go on. The dollar, the dollar hasn't really, it's all fake when they say the dollar.
Well, they're trying to push the dollar down too intentionally. They're openly admitting that now. All right, what's silver?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
What's silver looking at?
1693.
All right. I had 1554 before, so 1693, that's pretty good there. All right, so that's kind of the change, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's a headline that says the following, and it's just packed with a bunch of tidbits here, Brian. So let's just break down this headline for a second. First, U.S. labels China currency manipulator. This is the first time since 94 that's happened.
All right.
Now, in 94, when that was happening, wasn't that a Bill Clinton going on there now?
Yeah.
Just kind of wondering, because they act like they're all opposed to each other, but in the end, they say the same stuff, don't they? Just fascinating. Beijing warns of financial chaos, sir. Do you want to respond to that? So we threaten them and say, hey, you guys are currency manipulators. They warn of, what, economic chaos?
Well, it's an interesting factor. I mean, it's funny how they call the pot calls the kettle black, basically for China manipulating the currency, and yet us here in the U.S. have been manipulated for by these big banks forever. So it's
well over 100 years, but who's counting?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's very interesting how they don't like it.
Now the question for China though, is that an observation or is that a threat? What the heck is that, Brian? You think?
Well, I think China, they're tired of the fiat currency. They're tired of, getting into, helping us basically in financial markets, various lending markets and so on. And now they're saying, the heck, your currency's, terrible. It's been terrible. You keep saying that you're going to pull out and do this, that, and the other. But now you put sanction on us. We're not playing your game anymore. So
they then say gold soars. And then they say bubble popping. And then they say recession warning. What do you say to all that, Brian?
Well, I think we've been in a recession since 2008. Now the banks aren't too excited about what's going on, because they're not allowed, what's happening is they're not allowing the banks to continue to do what they, fractional reserve lending and then huge debt creation, and they want to continue to do that. Some of these big institutions now are saying, get out of the dollar. Well, we've been saying that all along. So it's interesting how it's come back around that they don't like it now.
Now, I bring all that up in the light of it seems like things are changing, and it seems like the economy worldwide is starting to get a lot more volatile. And now, Kurt, I want you to come back, and you had hinted at something, but I want you to finish the thought. This is what pattern? This is predictable. This is consistent. It's not an anomaly like we think, is it?
Well, it doesn't seem like it to me. As far as I can remember, I was looking at some charts just barely. It seems like it's a normal kind of ups and downs. Maybe it's the stock market guys go on vacation. Maybe it's Congress goes on vacation in August. I don't know, but it seems like you see some of those increases, or maybe it's say the decreases in the value of the dollar at that time, almost yearly to me.
Well, there you have it. And I think they're playing with the markets. But, are they? What's the Fed going to do with the dollar? When we drop interest rates like we just did, I don't see how that doesn't manipulate the currency, Brian.
Right. That's exactly what it does. I mean, the problem, you have to go back and back and back, because the problem is so much debt. there's so much debt out there that you know, I mean, the world economy, the whole global economy is tracked by a huge amount of debt. You've got countries that are bankrupt, you know, and realistically, with, you know, when you look at the whole scenario and say, okay, our dollar, I hate when they, you know, over the last year, few years, and so all the dollar's showing some strength, Where's the dollar showing strength? I mean, when our metals were really high, they were really saying, well, our deficit's killing. I mean, we're trillions of dollars in debt, and the metals were showing strength because the dollar, they were talking about it all the time. It was on the news. What's the dollar compared to, you know, and all this? Well, then they stopped talking about it, and then they come back with the fact, well, the dollar's showing strength. We have increased. Well, the dollar has shown no strength because we're so far in debt in the dollar that, you know, that's why we predict, you know, we want people to get involved in metal and so on to protect that dollar, because there's no strength there at all. It's just all fake news, and it's across the world, you know, all this fake stuff. So it's just, yeah, it's crazy.
All right, well, let me just ask you guys some questions here. Are you guys involved or familiar with the Bureau of Economic Analysis? You familiar with the Bureau of Economic Analysis there, Kurt?
Doesn't ring a bell.
So. All right, well, there's a Bureau of Economic Analysis, and USA Today's writing about it, and their headline says this: U.S. dollar. Here's how much the dollar is worth in every state. USA Today. Then they go on to say, hey, man, you know what? According to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, this is how much a dollar's worth in every state in the U.S. A dollar buys more or less depending on what state you're in. To shed light on these differences and the, quote, relative purchasing power of Americans in every state, you know, Wallet Hub and others put together this data. You know what the state is that the dollar's the strongest, if you will, or buys the most?
Utah.
No, I wish, sir. Mississippi, sir.
Mm.
They say income, it's Mississippi or Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
They say income adjusted by the cost of living. Then they say value. And they go into this big thing, and I guess I kind of don't understand. We even manipulate the currency across the United States in that sense then. Right?
Yeah.
Because who determines the cost of living, Brian? How do we determine the cost of living? Is it just the way it is?
Well, I mean, the cost of living is based on what you can buy in goods, but it's based on if you have more tax or more this or more that, you know, added to your factor. I guess there's a number of factors that come into play.
All right. Do you know what price parity is?
Similarity?
No, it's price parity. They create this term called price parity over there at the economics or whatever that place is. And
okay.
They divide by 100 relating to every state's price parity figure. Okay, and when you get all done with this analysis, what happens is they just make up their own criteria, buddy, put it through their own filters and come out with the results they want and say, hey, here's how it really is. Right?
Wow, how interesting.
So they have a personal income value for every state, buddy. Then they divided the 2016 personal capita income figure by the 2016, quote, regional price parity value. Median home values came from the 2016 census there now. And then we did the American Bureau Consumer Survey and got that all together. And then we go ahead and, you know, put it all. What I'm getting at is, man, they got these formulas. They just come up with whatever they want to say, buddy. I kid you not. This is how the economics work around here, Kurt. I kid you not.
Yeah.
And so they got this parity thing, and they just come back and say, this state's cheaper, this state's more. You can buy more with this, and you can do this with that. And then my question is, how much does the taxation of the people have to do with it? And does that change the game? See, they don't have that in their equation at all. I'd come back with the IRS quotient and add to that mix there now. And let's talk to the economists about the IRS quotient, shall we, Brian? Hang tight. I want to get to this. I just made that up, by the way. The IRS quotient. That's the abuse factor the Americans take on a daily basis. All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Sam, Kurt, and Brian, RushCoinAndGift.com on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We're trying to heal, and they're trying to divide.
That's the Republican Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, responding to comments 2020 Democratic candidates made in which they criticized President Trump's visit to El Paso as well as Dayton yesterday in the wake of mass shootings in both of those cities.
This guy doesn't have one racist bone in his body. He loves everybody. We walk into a venue, you come in the back way for security, through the kitchen, he shakes every hand. It doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter who you vote for, he loves everybody. And this is just a spurless attack on this president.
He spoke on Fox News. Democrat Beto O'Rourke yesterday declared that he thinks the president's a white supremacist. ICE agents arresting around 680 suspected illegal immigrants at six work sites in Mississippi yesterday. It's called the biggest single-state immigration raid ever. And this is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Pizza Hut closing as many as 500 restaurants over the next 2 years. The company planning to focus more on delivery and carryout. There are just under 7,500 Pizza Huts across the country, and most of them are dine-in operations as of now. Calls for gun control continuing on the campaign trail as Democrats, including Elizabeth Warren, have been making it a common theme in recent days since the shootings in Dayton and El Paso.
In this country, the overwhelming majority of Americans know that we need to make some sensible changes, and they know what those changes are. But right now, Congress, the Republicans, are held by the throat by the NRA.
That's Warren speaking at a town hall in Iowa yesterday evening. And this is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Yeah, don't go to New York, ladies and gentlemen. Your buying power over there is about nil. You go to California or New York, and you about go broke. Wow. All I'm saying is it's very interesting. And they make, it just seems like, economically speaking, they make up their own gobbledygook. As far as I can tell, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, I just made up this term called the IRS quotient. That's how much abuse the belligerent taxes that everybody pays takes out of the economy. What's the toll on that, and how does that manipulate the currency and the buying power of the American people and wages? And I mean, I can just go through all every. By the time you manipulate the interest rate, and then by the time you go ahead and have the IRS quotient in there, wow, the economy probably doesn't look like what it would look like at all in a complete free market. But what about this idea? I just made up this IRS quotient. Isn't that as critical as the factors they point to?
Yeah, you know, I think the all this made up stuff is kind of where what we're seeing across the board in the last number of years. I mean, it's basically, I think, one of Satan's tools is to clutter our lives, right, and twist us up so that we don't even know what to think or how to think. We rely on them to think, and what they're saying we must believe. I think it's really crazy, but it's so. It's so hard to understand all the processes, the IRS, I mean, and all the other, you know, complications in our lives. I mean, it just seems to be one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And I think if we were to get back to just what makes America great again, get back to the Constitution and honest money and a number of things, and I'm almost to a point where we need to wipe out all, you know, not destroy these people really, but I mean to get rid of all 500 plus people in Washington and let's start over. And I mean, it's because it's so,
If we could do it peacefully, I'd be game.
Yeah.
Right? All right, Kurt, you want to chime in here? I mean, is my term is valuable or as important as theirs? They act like they've got these economic analysis and these, filters and formulas and economic, realities that they point to. I just think they make up a bunch of gobbledygook. My IRS quotient is just as problematic, societally speaking. And when you look at how much people are in fear of the IRS, you look at how much money the IRS takes out of the economy, you look at how much it affects the jobs and wages and, how much people can employ others. And I mean, it goes on. That quotient is mammoth. And no one even talks about that at all when it comes to the toll on the economy. Right? I just find this interesting. Kurt, any thoughts on this?
When you look at this whole thing, the whole big picture, you just, I don't know. To me, I get the idea or almost a picture in my mind of, the Wizard of Oz guy. And he's sitting there, you don't see him in the movie at all until the end. And then somebody moves the curtain and goes, there's a little guy just sitting there by the microphone. And you realize it's really... not what you thought. And that's the way I see this now. As you look at our whole monetary system and understand how it was supposed to be with the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, the way they set it up and why they did it that way, and then we see how it is, it's a mess. And yet the solutions are simple.
Right.
Well, do you think that anybody will have common sense and go back to constitutional currency? I mean, that's really the only real answer if you want honest money, Brian.
Yeah, I agree. Problem is your big elitist back there and so on, they don't want that. They want you to be under a thumb type thing, and you reaching out for their help me do this or help me do that. I need you. I can't even think anymore type scenarios. I think that it's just, you look at, there's so much, right is wrong now. Wrong is right. And they preach and preach and preach that. So you almost, maybe that is right. Then we kind of get here, and then we catch them like Kurt says, we pulled the curtain open. Now we've caught them red-handed. There's things that we're seeing, but there's no action on that. We can't do anything with that. We just let them pass. But, there's no accountability, really. And so we're in such a crisis in many avenues, not only financially, but there's so many other avenues. And it just, unfortunately, we need to be, to hold strong, to look to God, to give us hope, to give us, but we need to be living these things that will help bring us out of here instead of just gloom and doom. We don't want to continue to preach gloom and doom, but there's so much out of it at the top that we're just really, it's hard not to talk about it.
Yeah, there you have it. What do you say to that, Kurt?
The president could really, I do believe there's a whole lot of opposition for all the things that he's tried to do so far. When you consider abortion and lower taxes, less government, the swamp, and all that kind of stuff. But imagine the kind of pushback he'd get if he just said, "Look, man, let's make America great again. I found out right here at the federal government, we got something called the Mint, and they make silver and gold coins, and I found out they used to use these all the time. They even had silver certificates and gold certificates so that if you didn't want to carry around your gold or silver, it was too heavy for you, you could carry that around. And during that time, ladies and gentlemen, I found out we didn't even have any debt. And it appears that it was a pretty good system. Along with that, this whole IRS thing is heck of a mess. We can use the tariffs. Let's make America and the world great again, huh?
Anyway, I find that whole thing fascinating when we debate this and stuff like that. I hear the economy. I hear the stocks are just, you know, getting pummeled because of the shootings that took place in America. And, man, Donald's just on a racist bender, and so the stock's taking a hit because he's really ratcheting things up with China. And, I mean, if you listen to the mainstream press, Brian, you almost just think the world's just about to end. And I think they're crazy. Most of us are walking around in America, you know, we're working and spending time with our families and doing great stuff all day long. And, you know, but when you listen to them, I'm telling you right now, it's like the sky is falling everywhere with these people.
Right. Well, I think some of these people feel threatened and pushed and maybe even pushed into and just ending everything, you know, going and to shoot up this person and these people and this person and this person just to, you know, kind of create havoc because, next week or a month, it's over anyway. So why not go out with a bang? I don't know. It's just, you're right. But I think if we can get back to God-given principles and get back to honest money and some of these things, we can make America great. I just think that, you know, for instance, you know, Trump's over there. He visits the area and so on and the left basically say, well, why is he doing that? Why is he even here? He's this person. He's that person. But, you know, you start to look at it. He's our president. Now, I don't agree with some of the tactics and things that are going on, but he's our president. And on the other side, you've got, you know, illegals. You know, they're illegal, if the word that means anything. You know, they're saying, well, what about these people here? Here's the president. Here's the illegals. I mean, it's stupidity that we're fighting against him. He's there visiting, he's the president. He should be there. He should step. You know, that's a good thing, but they don't give him credit for anything.
So, Kurt, I'm going to say this. It's Chicken Little economics. Will the sky keep falling, buddy? Is it just going to, is it just a train wreck, man? You're just there to watch that sucker go down in slow motion? I mean, that's what these people want you to believe. You're either going to get shot or hit by the economic train. Which is going to happen first, sir, if Al-Qaeda behind you doesn't take you down, you know? I mean, these people are crazy.
Yeah, you're right. You are correct.
What do you say, Kurt? I mean, it's just, I look at the economy and I look at the society and the news. I mean, I look at every news thing. I just don't see a bunch of positive stuff. I don't see anybody full of cheer. I don't see anybody praying for America. I think a lot of us are, but they're not going to let you know about it. I mean, what the heck?
Well, and when you look at this whole picture, Sam, doesn't it surprise you that we're even doing as well as we are when you have a media that's constantly, since the president got elected, in my opinion, they've been trying to either take him down or basically take down his, the good things that have been done. And that's simply because of the whole spirit of party kind of thing. Their person, you know, the Hillary, didn't win. And so then they've got to do all they can to make whoever's there, their opposition, look as bad as possible so that then they can replace him. I mean, just imagine if the tables were turned and he had lots of support and there was a lot of, look at this good thing and look at that good thing. Where would we be then?
Amen. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, you bet. You guys are doing a great job out there.
RussQuinnandGift.com, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future? and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam and Kurt. All right, Kurt, they say that the shooter uploaded a manifesto, right, in El Paso, but the owner of 8chan, do you know what that is? It's like a message board thing or whatever else. The owner of 8chan says the manifesto was not uploaded by the El Paso Walmart shooter. Okay? And the owner says, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I don't know who wrote it. I'm just telling you that's not who uploaded it. And it turns out the FBI got caught editing information on 8chan several months ago. So the bottom line is, you know what? We're being manipulated here, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly who, what, when, where, how, I don't know. I'm not telling you I have all the answers. I'm just telling you that something smells rotten in Denmark, so to speak. For example, Patrick Kusi, or however you say that guy's name, is mother. That's the Walmart shooter's mother. Contacted police before the El Paso shooting because she was concerned about an AK-style weapon. And the El Paso shooter warned police about her son weeks before massacre. You know what she was told, Kurt? He's 21.
What?
He's legally allowed to buy a gun.
There you go.
Now, I'm convinced that that's a little bit of a manipulation of the truth. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I mean. I agree he's over 21 and can buy a gun. But if we realize that somebody's mentally deranged, do we need a red flag law all over the country? Or can the cops just say, listen, I have a more than an anonymous tip. It's like the mom. She's very concerned about her son and what he might do. Let's dig into this guy's past a little bit and see if this is a concern. Let's do our best to get this guy help. Didn't we talk the other day about mom who got her son help, Kurt?
We did.
And this lady right here was trying to get her son help. Mm-hmm. The cops turned a blind eye even though they got the warning. They ignore it. The murders happen, and now we're going to just run around and go, oh, what we need to do is give early warnings by law. But we don't even need a law. We got the early warning in one case, and it got stopped. In another case, they ignored. And every time we look at these things, there's not laws violated ahead of time. There is warning signs of mental illness that we never dig into. So if we're going to ignore the owner, I'm sorry, if we're going to ignore the mother, and then if we're going to ignore the fact that these kids are on psychiatric drugs, whenever you get a tip, you should go look and see if these kids are on psychiatric drugs. And if they are, you should say, well, the likelihood of this actually happening increases substantially. Mm-hmm. We're going to look into this. And I think there are already laws on the books about behavior and mental illness and things. And so what I'm saying is I think we're intentionally missing a lot of these things to push a political agenda, not really to stop crime. And I'm sad to say that, but let me give you an example. The media gives you the impression, the media creates an impression that all mass shooters are white males, Kurt, recently. But you know what? The New York Times disclosed in 2016 that 75% of shooters in these mass murders are black.
Whoops.
Now, I'm not here to attack blacks either. But again, is this evil racist profiling? Or is this just documenting reality? If you're going to point at somebody, I don't know that you can point at white people. I choose to say, hey, so if you all of a sudden get a tip from a mom, said, hey, my son's got an AK. I think he's kind of crazy. I'm really concerned about this. In my mind, you go and you say, okay, wait a minute. Is this guy on psychiatric drugs? Is this guy tied into the FBI, the CIA, any government programs and or the military? Is this guy seeing a psychiatrist, psychologist? Has this guy been in trouble before? Does he have a record? Maybe not even a record of criminal activity, but a record of disgruntlement or being fired from somewhere. And I think when you look into that, you'll start to get a quick picture. Then you say, okay, did this guy grow up with an intact mother and father? Did this guy grow up with religion in his life? And I'm telling you right now, Kurt, I believe that you could put together 30 or 40 factors that you could quickly do what's called a threat assessment without violating anybody's rights very quickly on somebody and get a great handle on the likelihood of them going ballistic. Just take Sam Bushman, for example. I'll attack myself for a minute. Say, hey, has this guy been violent before? Never. Does this guy have a history of being fired from jobs, kicked out of school, having run-ins with people that either get violent and or make threats? Never. Okay, look at the FBI database. Sam Bushman's passed multiple FBI background checks for licenses in the insurance industry and the financial world. Okay. Does Sam Bushman, what's his relationships like? Oh, he grew up in a home with an intact mother and a father. Oh, they were very religious people. They believed in God. Great. You put this together and you say, what's the likelihood of Sam going crazy with a gun? The answer is almost zero. I would say it's zero, but I'm just saying statistically, very little. You take this guy, though, and you go, well, mom called 4 weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, this guy's got an AK. He's crazy. I'm seriously worried. Worried enough to call the police. And then you say, hey, the guy's on psychiatric. By the way, Sam's not on any drugs of any kind. This guy's on psychiatric drugs. This guy's been disgruntled. He had a girlfriend that thought he was crazy. You know, he literally, watched a first date, like death movies and stuff. Okay, the warning signs are there, folks. The warning signs are absolutely there. Now, as far as I understand, Kurt, didn't this guy jump in his vehicle and drive like 1,200 miles or something like that? Or 800 miles or 10 hours or something.
I don't know about.
All right, anyway. And so, right now, if I drive 1,200 miles and try to charge my credit card, they freak and put a freeze on it so that no one does credit card fraud. And they know when I'm
That's
gone.
Right.
So you got this guy that mom says 4 weeks ago is like crazy. He's got an AK. Girlfriend saying, hey, man, this guy's a kook, a nut. He's watching like murder, destruction videos, first date stuff. Then this guy jumps in his vehicle and drives like 800 miles. And everybody's like, we need a law for early warning signs. Kurt, respond.
What's amazing, isn't it? And we see this so many times because what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, I mean, if you haven't already figured this out, they use things like this, the killings, the shootings, they use these to promote this certain legislative or political process. And in this case, it's all about continuing your attack, or their attack, I should say, on the Second Amendment, which basically is something that there are those people who are confused enough that think that somehow if you just eliminate enough guns, that there will be somehow some perfect world out there. They're confused. Then there's the ones who, in my opinion, literally want to control you, and they want to be the ones with the guns so that, you are the guy with like the slingshot or the rock, and you're pretty easily contained, if you will. And so that's what this is all about. They're just doing the best they can to move that narrative forward.
Well, and to prove your point, Kurt, there's a headline from NPR, National Public Radio, that is very concerning.
Well, yeah, we're the NPR boys, which is your government tax dollars put towards broadcasts, right, Sam? And the NPR boys say Trump should have blamed himself for mass shootings. That's a Breitbart.
Okay, and I'm going to just stop there for a second and say, why would the President of the United States blame himself for mass shootings, Kurt?
Well, it's showing their political bent.
Political bent, though, but, I mean, what are they even talking about? Why? Because he hasn't instituted greater gun control? Why? Because he says somebody looks ugly? Why? Because he says, hey, you know, there's more jobs being created and lock somebody up? Or whatever. I mean, you know, like or dislike Donald Trump, I don't get how you associate him being responsible. I think that the responsibility is multifaceted, personally, Kurt. I think it's, you know, his parents. Now, can they be blamed 100%? Of course not. But you can look and say, hey, in somebody's profile, do they play online video games that are violent? Do they get on Grand Theft Auto and rape, pillage, and plunder? I'm telling you right now that a guy on medication that's a gamer, that's had trouble in the past, that's on medication, you look at that, gamer, medication, trouble in the past, that's a likely candidate for trouble, Kurt. I'm telling you right now. Does it mean we take away his rights tomorrow? Of course not. Does it mean that we literally work on the support system around him immediately? Yes, it does. Right? Yes, it does. And so that's why I say, it's amazing to me, Kurt, that they can profile me through Google. And they can tell you that I'm a hater and that I'm an enemy, and they can ban me. They can know with my credit card when I even travel very far. They can know everything that I'm doing and saying and everything else. They got Alexa recording me. They got Facebook monitoring me. They got the credit card services monitoring every one of my transactions. They've got, spy cams or, you know, video cams all along the road, all along the highway system, in stores, almost everywhere I am. And they can monitor me down to the point where, hey, you know what? If I invest in, Bitcoin or some kind of a digital currency or cryptocurrency, then, hey, I better pay the IRS. They're going to make sure of that. They got that all covered. When it comes to this guy, it's like, hey, man, we didn't have any warning signs. We don't really know. We just got to have new laws. But they had warning signs. They knew he traveled. They know all this stuff, Kurt. Maybe the reason they didn't know.
Well,
the reason they didn't know he posted his manifesto is because he didn't, Kurt.
Well, there you go.
See, and so now you start to say, well, if somebody else published his manifesto, where did they get it, Kurt? How did they get it? And if so, who's
involved?
Make
it up. I think they.
Well, you might be right.
I mean, remember the old movie years ago, Manchurian Candidate? You have these people that I think are pretty well either set up or they're. Basically they're just patsies and they're set there and they're just ready for people to use for their purposes, and that's what's going on here, Sam. They could, you know, the honest media that I see points out that in Chicago there's more shootings than both of these put together, and yet, you know, there's no call for any more, gun control there in Chicago simply because they already got it.
Yeah, they can't get a whole lot more gun control there in Chicago, can they, buddy?
Not that I know of. It doesn't work, and it's, taking away the weapons and guns from people that are good so they can't defend themselves. All it does is makes more criminals, they're able to do their havoc more and more.
All right. When we get back, I want to talk about Roy Moore and Steve King a little bit. We got a whole lot more news the networks refuse to use straight ahead. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up, baby. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. I'm telling you, there's very few news outlets that put together the pros, the talk, the focus, the reality checks that we do. There's a lot of good media people out there that provide us tips and tidbits and research and support. And thank them all. Thank them all indeed. But you know what? We put together a uniqueness on Liberty Roundtable Live. You're not hearing just from Sam and Kurt. You're hearing from all kinds of people on all kinds of topics. That's part of what makes Liberty Roundtable what it is. Everybody bringing incredible information to the table, from citizen reporters to educate. I'm just tremendous stuff. All right, hour one of the can, two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today for Sam and Kurt. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.